Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are trying a rosé, which is unusual for us. Sheree picked it out.
We are definitely going to get a mixture of wines this season. Okay.
Yes,
we are not
going to
be red heavy.
No. So Sheree picked out all of the wines this season, and she made sure to actually like mix and match wines before, because we were real heavy on the red wines last season, but it was a pandemic.
And I was going to say, in our defense, in a pandemic, we were not going to drink anything that we didn't want to drink when we had to be in the house. I refuse to have bottles that I'm just not going to want. No.
So we're trying to mix it up this season. So we are drinking, it's called Matua, M-A-T-U-A, and it is a New Zealand rosé. Mm-hmm. On the bottle itself, it says that it's dry and elegant. So Sheree thinks that's why I'll like it.
I tried to give Sasha some like reprieve, because you know she don't like much of anything.
Oh, that's not bad, actually.
See,
according to the tasting notes, it says that it's fresh and fruity, like a sip of summer, and it's packed with deliciously ripe summer fruits, strawberries, rhubarb, cranberry, backed up by a zesty herbal twist. All flowing through a juicy, refreshing finish. I am not drinking it correctly right now. It says that it should be at fridge temperature for about 45 minutes.
I put mine in the fridge when I first got it, and I took it out of the fridge right before.
Sasha,
you did good with the gold, but gosh knows, you know, like.
I meant to.
Let's go
with
this.
I can see how that'll make it taste better.
Rosés, anything that's not red goes in the fridge.
Yes, I know.
If it's not red. I know you know this.
I just never, because I'm so used to drinking red, so I just forget.
Like, she literally just puts it on the shelf and just be like, all right, it's up there. And I'm like, no.
But this one, so it actually says it should be in the fridge for about 45 minutes before you drink it. Like, this is the first one I've seen there. It gives you, like, a time. 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, do you see that on the bottle? Does your bottle have this, when the snowflake appears, I'm chilled and ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so hold up.
Ooh.
I have mine has a snowflake on it. Oh my gosh.
On the front. Oh, that's cool. That's when the snowflake turns blue.
Bam.
I'm chilled and ready. Now I need to put it in the fridge.
See? Bam.
Oh. Cool.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's convenient. It pairs well with a fresh salad of mango and chopped mint, a pan-seared fish, and a drizzle of lime juice. So that's what
you know
what
all that says to me.
It's a nice
summer wine for you to have, like with some nice. It's a summer or a brunch wine. It's exactly what you would think
of.
Anything light. It's a rosé. Rosés are. It's not like where we. It's. I like that they have to be so descriptive, but I'm like, it's a rosé. Drink it when you drink a rosé. If you don't know when to drink a rosé, you probably don't drink rosé.
I'm not gonna lie though, because y'all know I do not like.
Mm-hmm.
Rosés. I despise Moscato with a passion.
Even though that's not a rosé, but I got you.
It's
she don't like sweet wines at all. Mm-hmm. She don't like anything that has sweetness. If it has sweetness in it, she's just like, get it away from me. This is candy.
But I'm proud of you, Sheree, because this is actually a rosé that I would drink.
Sasha, when I see the words dry and elegant, there's just a few things that come to mind. You know, I can't say the elegant part all completely, but dry. Yes. Dry humor, straight shooter. You like dry. So I
have no complaints about it.
And also, once again, it's as we said before, everything is Sasha and Sheree approved.
13.5%. Because yours is chilled. Do you taste fruitiness?
Yeah.
Is it more fruity for you?
Yes, it's very fruity. Like that's why when I tasted it, it has like it's dry, but all the fruit flavors that you named, I was like, yep, all of them are there. And they do taste really good chilled. So
I definitely taste like strawberry, but obviously mine isn't chilled. So
I taste berry. I don't know if it's strawberry.
All of the flavors. But
does it have tropical fruit?
It's strawberry, rhubarb, and cranberry is what it says.
Okay, I taste all that because I'm like, it just tastes real fruity, but...
What the hell does rhubarb taste like? How do you taste rhubarb?
Okay, so if you're in the South, that's a rhubarb pie. Is apparently strawberry rhubarb pie is like a
thing. I know it's a thing,
but I've never had.
You know what rhubarb tastes? I'm about to say.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've never seen someone make rhubarb. I've seen strawberry rhubarb. So when I think of rhubarb, I'm like strawberry.
Yeah, I know it pairs very well.
It's like tart.
Yeah, I think so. Well, in any event, it's dry, but it is fruity, but it's not sweet, which is why I can drink it. Because if it was sweet, then that wasn't going
to
happen.
My goal this season is for Sasha to expand her palate so that when we come over and we want to have something other than a red where I need a bottle of water, my goal is to be able to have variety.
I'm not going to lie. This would probably work well on a summer day sitting outside on the water. So
I'm the person who sometimes I just don't feel like a red. And that's just it. You never feel this way. But no, me, I don't want a red. It just does something else. I don't want to chill. I want to like something. And so here we are.
So this will be in the house the next time. Yeah, and I will have it in the fridge.
I'm working my plan, y'all. I'm working my plan.
But like I said, it's a Matua Rosé, M-A-T-U-A, 13.5%. It's a New Zealand rosé, and we have no complaints from us, which is unusual on my part, but it's actually good. But today we actually have a guest with us, and we're super excited to be talking with her. Her name is Jennifer, and she is the mother of a little girl and a wife for the second time, and she's a caregiver to her Navy veteran husband. She was actually listed in the top 50 mom podcasters in Podcast Magazine back in May 2020, and she is a 2020 Elizabeth Dole Fellow in the state of Arkansas, and she's also now a mom empowerment coach. She says she wants to be a woman who sheds the light on women and moms going through different seasons of life and making the normal struggles we all go through normal and not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed about, aka hot mess mama life.
A mama after our own like heart. Yes. That's what it is.
She says she's also a big supporter of childhood ADHD, domestic violence survivors, and caring for veterans. And that last one is actually why we wanted to have her on the show, because she is a caregiver for her husband. And we just kind of wanted to dive into that and talk a little bit about what that means, like what she thought when she was going into her marriage. Because if you are married, you all know that there's that nice little line in your vows says, for better or worse.
and we really forget about everything.
We forget about that worse.
We just forget about the or.
We forget about the worst part. So welcome, Jennifer. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, I guess, on your part.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm so excited to meet you guys. I've been a big fan of your podcast as well. Like, I listen to it all the time.
Oh my gosh. So.
Thank you. So nice. So I guess tell us more about, I guess, your marriage and, you know, your husband, you said, was in the Navy. He's a Navy veteran. My parents were both in the Air Force, so I understand that military lifestyle. But and you feel free to go into as much as you want. But you say that you're a caregiver for him. And what does that mean? Like, what capacity does that mean for you?
So I'm a caregiver to my husband. It's actually kind of crazy how we met. We met online, and he was actually getting out of the military. And, you know, here I am dating this person who I'm thinking is getting out, it's free, whatever. No military lifestyle for me.
Because that's a whole nother commitment. That's a whole nother animal.
I feel like there's a but coming.
Yes. But he was also like medically discharged. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe there's an injury or so, whatever, but it's all like mental health. So I didn't realize what I was signing up for, to be honest. I just thought like, here's this dude getting out of the military. Here I am, the girlfriend. Let's just make it work, you know? Mm-hmm. So years later, I actually went to an event with him, a Wounded Warrior Project event. And this lady kept coming up to me and was like, oh, hi, you're his wife. I'm like, no, I'm just the girlfriend. Like, stop.
Child, slow it down, ma'am.
I have not made that commitment yet. I don't even know if I want to make that commitment.
They're like, hold on now. Wait. Bring it back. Scale it back some.
Yeah, pretty much. And so I'm just like, fine, I'll just roll with it. Whatever, you know. I'm in a room full of people I don't know. He's obviously comfortable with it. I'm just like, cool, I'm the wife, whatever. And then she hands me this packet. She's like, oh, you must be his caregiver. And I'm like, no, I'm just the girlfriend. Again, I'm not the wife. I'm not the caregiver.
So somehow this
even... You done put a whole bunch of roles on me real quick. And I've said it. I'm just the girlfriend.
You went to a party, the girlfriend. It came out the wife and caregiver.
Pretty much. And I'm just like, so we get back to the car. And I'm just looking at this pamphlet that she handed me. I said, well, I guess I'll look into it and sign up for it. He's like, yeah, I guess. Like, no encouragement, no, like, you're not my caregiver, nothing, no argument, nothing. Sure. And I'm just like, okay, we're okay with this, cool. So I look into it and I call the caregiver program and they're like, oh yeah, you're his caregiver, you do a lot of stuff for him, but we're not going to pay you because there is a program where you can get paid to be a caregiver for your spouse. But really? Because I do wifely duties, I don't get to be paid.
Oh, so if you're a wife caregiver, you don't get, even though you're not a wife, you were a girlfriend at the time, but you're doing the wifely duty.
See, I don't like that. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, excuse me?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, well, I guess, whatever, you know, like, I was just like, well, I'm already living with him, might as well just keep doing what I'm doing, you know, it's not a big deal. But I didn't realize how much I actually do outside of the so-called wifely duties. I make appointments for him. I, you know, make sure he gets his medication. I advocate for him. So if something's going wrong at the VA or doctor's appointments, I usually step in and I'm the one yelling at them, you know, not like these crazy wives you see on TV. I'm legit like the Karen on the phone.
Like she'll be like, hey, what you doing? I don't like what you're doing and I need this. No, I will not be transferred.
Yes, so, but I didn't realize I was doing all that just as a girlfriend. And then we got married a year later and then I still didn't qualify for the program because I'm still doing wifely duties. So... Yeah, that's a little gray area that I'm trying to get fixed as a Dole Care fellow for the state of Arkansas. So that's one area I'm trying to fix because wow, that's just ridiculous to me. But you know, you don't realize
because just because you're a wife, yeah. Just because
I'm sitting here
you're
like, is this like whole, only? I'm just like, is this only? For...
Is that only an Arkansas thing, or is what? That or is this like a nationwide thing?
Oh, this is a travesty. Nationwide. I am like in shock. I now understand. No, this is a really. I mean, you know, like you said, you're big on advocacy and things like that. Not just. I am sitting over here shook because I'm like, what? I'm not a military family. I didn't come from a military family. So I'm just like, no, it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense.
My thing is, I'm just like, if I got to be all this extra, I can't, nothing comes with it. Like not even a little extra coins can get through.
Like I'm sitting here, like as of today, if I wanted to be care, if I was to be caregiver to like my aunt, my parent or anything right now, I would get paid. You're telling me that if my husband, like the person who I have to live with at this moment, I am just like, I can't even fit. My mind can't fathom this. Carry on. I am intrigued.
Yeah. So it's pretty bad because you would like you said, if you were not a military member or a spouse of a military veteran, you would be getting paid. And the fact that I do so much outside of my marriage, I don't qualify. So that's where
crazy.
Yeah.
We got to do
so. So you kind of sort of you stepped into this marriage somewhat knowing or a little blindsided that you would be in this caregiver role. But do you think that does that affect your marriage at all with having to play that role? Because I think like I said, luckily you kind of knew what you were getting into, but I think a lot of women and men probably too, when they get married, we don't think about like the bad things that could happen that could put us in a position where we do have to serve as a caregiver for our partner. Yeah. We are the ones who I'm making, not to say, I think most wives are also already making doctor's appointments.
I was gonna say, I mean,
like doing all of that stuff because husbands don't do that.
But it's the fact that we're the ones who usually are taking care of the household, but to actually add on, like, no, it's not like a partnership where you do this too. I'm the caregiver, meaning I help with all of that. That is a different thing than
Do you feel like it puts any stresses on your marriage at all?
Oh, it does. It definitely does. I want to say it's more of like a power struggle, you know, just because I do for him so much. And then I expect something in return when I know mentally and physically, I'm never going to get that back because he's just not capable of doing that. And so that, you know, for me, I don't know about him. I can't speak for him, but for me, it does put a strain on our marriage. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah,
I can definitely see that because I don't think I've ever brought this up on the podcast. I'm sure I've talked about it at some point. My mom was kind of in, my mom had the situation where it was like, you know, you get married for better or worse. And then my dad, 10 years before he passed away, both parents, like I said, were in the military, real strong, like macho man in the military. Mm-hmm. I think he was still working at the time, ended up, I think he was going through a midlife crisis, y'all. I really think he wanted to relive his youth or something like that. Decided he wanted to buy a motorcycle. Got into an accident on said motorcycle and ended up getting his leg amputated, which completely flipped the script.
So you did talk about the amputation, but you didn't talk about how, because I was just like, what? Like, yeah, motorcycle.
He had got a motorcycle. No. He got a motorcycle. He I don't even think he had his full motorcycle license yet. Somebody, I guess, banged the front of his bike, he tapped the front of his bike, which sent him into a guardrail, shattered his leg. Because he had diabetes, he ended up having to get it amputated right below the knee. And if you know anything about amputations, it's bad, but not that bad, because he was able to keep his knee, which is like the joint, which makes it easier to walk. So he had a artificial leg and everything and was able to walk. But my parents struggled with it, especially on my dad's part, because my dad, you know, he's in his 40s and he's like, now I don't feel like a man. My wife has to do everything for me. And like, you know, he had to learn how to walk again. And mind you, my parents, my dad was like 6 foot tall. My mom is this little 4'11 woman. Like,
yeah, if
he was trying to help him like learn how to walk, she can't even like physically like.
She can't even be a crutch to him. Like, unless he's like crutching on her head. I mean, I'm just thinking like, there's a height difference.
It's just like me and my husband. It's just like me and Richard, essentially.
Oh, that's so cute. Y'all both really, like, I just realized that. Oh, it's a family trait for y'all to, like, be short and, like, tall men. Oh.
But it was, like, it was the same thing. And my dad, like, he had a whole, mentally, it was really hard for him to come to terms with the things that he wasn't capable of physically doing. And I think, you know, my mom told me, you know, after he passed away, that it was a lot of a struggle for him because he didn't feel like he could be that man in their marriage anymore. You know, he's so used to playing this role and, you know, telling my mom, I think at one point he told her like she should just leave, like, because that way he wouldn't be a burden to her.
He was really depressed, wasn't he?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He tried to kill himself one time, but that's a whole different thing. It was the military will do some stuff too.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
So I can understand, like, from what you're saying, it's just that dynamic is challenging. It's hard to deal with that. And you said you have a daughter, so not only are you playing mom, but you have to pick up so much more on the other side too.
Yes. It's really hard.
I was going to say, it has to take some balance and prioritizing and scheduling and organization that I don't exactly possess today. So, like, I can only imagine, like, what is it, like, how was it being, and I think of being a new mom, like, when me and you both, I had a C-section, you had natural, it was hard postpartum. Like, I'm thinking of, like, all the emotions and all of the things that we went through just like all the things that a mom goes through just becoming mom. And then to actually add on that, like you never had a chance to slow down. Like we slowed down at work, like we took time off and everything, but I never even thought about being a caregiver means that you're still on some capacity, right?
Yep. Whew. I'm really on. Like, so before me and my husband actually met, I was actually in a domestic violence relationship, and that is my daughter's dad. So I came into this relationship already kind of broken and traumatized, and, you know, wanting to start over and just for me. So yeah, just coming into that and then taking on this caregiver role, it just kind of all hit me. And then it just never slowed down since then. So yeah.
Sounds like you've taken it all in stride, yeah. though. I mean, like, it sounds like it's your passion that has become
very cheerful.
I was like, it's a, like the strength that you like are just like, it's not even strength. It's like you're like, this is what I've signed up for. Even though like you went to a party and came out like with all the roles, and then you actually was like, oh, okay. Well, if you say so, sure. Like your ability to roll with it.
I mean, it's, you know, I do break down and cry. I'm not going to lie. I have my moments, mm-hmm. and, you know, I have my depressed moments and all of that. Like if you actually turn the camera around right now, you'll see my depression, but it's hard. And then also like with a child with ADHD, you know, so that was another aspect in itself. You know, I have my trauma, my husband's trauma, my daughter's trauma, her ADHD, my husband's mental health, my mental health. It's a lot of struggles.
It's a lot to carry.
That's a lot to carry. Yeah. I think I also, like when you're saying your daughter has ADHD, that's so unusual to me, only because I, like from what I've read statistically, I thought it was more boys that suffer
from heavier. ADHD. It's more diagnosed in boys.
That's just because they're hyperactive, I feel like.
I believe
it's actually hard to diagnose for girls, and because some of the traits are just, you know, natural for girls, and, you know, their chattiness. Girls are naturally chatty, you know, they associate that with. Girls are naturally athletic and hyper, and, you know, put them in gymnastics and let them do their thing.
She can't focus, ma'am. Like, no, I think that, like you said, it does take a lot. And I mean, I think that the reason we really wanted to like talk about it is because we truly don't think of the whole, I mean, we've talked about on our podcast before about a lot of people married to the day. Like they are looking at the wedding. Yep. And it's like the beautifulness of this beautiful day that I'm going to like break the bank on. This is a fairy tale. And then like that day is over and life continues. And that's where we find a lot of our issues or a lot of our disagreements come from, the fact that we don't go into it knowing. So you did go into it knowing that there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be highs and lows, and somewhere in there.
Really know.
Yeah.
But you still, like, even I would imagine even you going into, you know, knowing the role that you're playing, you don't realize how much is on your shoulders, especially like, you know, having a daughter and things like that. Like, do you have at all like a circle or a community, or I guess this group that you looked into at the beginning? Is there anybody else that you can kind of go to for help, or that you can call and cry to, or things like that, who understand?
Like, I can't take this anymore. All right, I'm good now.
So naturally I'm not that person that just like to cry and lay my burdens on other people, but I do have a community of, you know, other caregivers and other wives who are, you know, caring for their veteran husbands. Actually, it's kind of cool because we moved into this apartment complex, and a year later, our neighbor, who's actually a veteran, and her husband's a veteran, so we actually mesh with them pretty well. And, you know, she's kind of like my go-to person. I call her my wife because, like, she basically is my family at this
point. We all need one.
We have a whole wine. We have an entire wine night that all of us, like, that's We haven't met in a month, y'all. We can't do this. Sasha literally lost her mind when we couldn't meet last month. She was like, wait, so we're really not going to meet? And I was like, we're all busy because life is happening. March, we did not meet. And she's just like, so we not, like, not even for dinner? Like, we really struggled with that month.
I was not okay.
We are meeting this month, though. See, yeah. But no, it's a being, but usually okay. That is the point. Having a circle or at least having someone in support is pinnacle to getting through. I mean, of course, you don't have to have like 15 people. You don't have to have a million and one like people that you could reach out to, but at least having one person who at the end of the day understands what you're going through and you can call and just be like, it's that day. And you're like, they know what you mean. Like that unspokenness that they know what you're saying without saying it is so important to me.
Yeah. She always tells me, she's like, I didn't text you because I felt your energy was off and I didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, thank you. Cause it was.
Oh, she just knows you. She knows you.
Yep. Everybody needs to know that.
That's what you need. You need someone who just knows you. Mm-hmm. So how do you mind me asking how old your daughter is?
She's 10. She just turned 10. I call her a 20-year-old because she's in that tween phase right now. Mm. And
oh, yeah. Where they think they're wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So that adds another struggle.
I'm sure. I could never deal with a preteen or a teenage girl.
Sasha definitely has said she's happy that she has a boy and that's the one and she's happy because she was like, I can't deal with a me.
Nope, not at all. But do you, now that your daughter is getting older, do you have conversations with her about, so she can understand how much is on your shoulders or like all the things you have to do for your husband and you know what that means, and or maybe even like, this is something you need to be aware about when you get older, you start, you know, liking people and this could possibly be something that you have to do. Like, have you had any of those conversations or plan to have any of those conversations with your daughter?
So actually we do have conversations. So like I'll go into her room and like ask her how her day is going. And, you know, usually she'll tell me, she's like, well, you know, dad's in a mood or something. I'm like, well, I have to explain to her why dad's in a mood or, you know, why I'm in a mood. Just because, you know, she is 10, she's still young and she still kind of doesn't understand the full emotions of everybody and everything that's going on. But I do try to put it to her, like, let's just like take it easy today, like how about we just play Legos or Barbies or let's watch a show together, like just simple tasks to where it's not overwhelming for her and it's not overwhelming for me and I don't have to plan a whole like party to like say, hey, we're unhappy today. But you know, just take it as easy as possible. And actually through the foundation, there's actually a thing called Military Kids and they help out with things like this. And Sesame Street is doing wonderful with that as well. Actually,
I'm partnering with Sesame them. Street.
Yes, look,
really.
Sesame Street has led. They always trailblazed, but they every time I turn on there's something new that I'm like, well, look at this. They done talked about racism. They talked about racism, autism, homelessness, like opioid addiction. I was like,
I mean, they had one little boy or the one little Muppet whose dad is in jail to kind of talk about families. Like, like Sesame Street doing a damn.
Sesame Street has not stopped pushing like they'd be like, oh, so kids go through that. I got you. And I was like, yes, you're right. Sorry, that is my. I love Sesame Street.
No,
that's cool that you're partnering with them, though.
Yes, it's they're actually doing a whole segment on, you know, different types of mental health issues with veterans and military families. So it's pretty good that you know people can kind of see what we go through as a family. So yeah.
How long was your husband in the military?
Just under 4 years, and he also struggles with that right now because he wanted to make a career out of it. He wanted to retire and. Not, you know, he wanted to do his full 20 years, you know, but life happens. So
you know, y'all, if you know that I am a big advocate on support therapy and all those things, as I'm a therapist. So I'm just like, it's important to have your circle. It's important to know, like, those things that you at least know about are really important to just be like, okay, well, he has his disappointments, his ups and downs, and he's got to work through those, and you working through yours. And it's beautiful that you've come together and found this sweet spot, because sweet spot doesn't mean it's always great, but you found this way to move around and work. And I think that it's really important to remember that, because Sasha, have we talked about the fact that we don't talk about, like, those difficult conversations? Like the difficult conversation. On the show. So I remember when I got married, when me and Brandon were getting married. Yeah, have you and I? So it's really funny, but when I was engaged to Brandon, his uncle, terrifying conversations to have, but his uncle turned to us, and it was the most important advice that he'd ever given. But he was just like, what is it that you would do if these situations happen? Do you know what he would want in this situation? Do you know what he would want in that situation? What are your plans for this? How would you handle this? Are you? And he's like, those are really important things that people don't talk about. And I was just like, I mean, we talked about it enough where, like, I know what Brandon's wishes or anything that would happen. And of course, going through everything with his dad. And I know, Sasha, you've had to see it with your dad, but it's important conversations that a lot of people don't have about, like, what are your wishes? What are your, like, needs? What are the things that, like, if everything goes horrible, as, like, think about worst case scenario, and we don't think about worst case scenario on those wonderful, beautiful days, and everything's going to be sunshine and roses and all of that.
Mm-mm. Well, I was going to say, I feel like that's probably a quote unquote benefit that you probably have with your husband, is that you do get to have some of those conversations that can be challenging, but also can also connect you better as a couple, because you are talking about those things that are harder to talk about. And, like, what do you want if this happens? And what do you want me to do? Or where do you want me to fall back on? Or where do you, you know, where, how much do you want me to push the button on this issue? Because I know sometimes it could be like, I'm going to advocate for you 100%. And they might be like, I'm here I just need you to bring it down to a 50. Like, we're not going to fight that battle today.
It's like, not that one. It's like, not that one, sweetie. The next one.
No, he always tells me I'm doing too much. So,
So you over here just guns a-blazing, like, yes, go. And you're just like, anybody can get it. And you're like, and he's like, but not everybody.
Not everybody. He's like, you put too much. And I'm like, well, I have different eggs in different baskets. I'm just all over the place.
Some eggs in them baskets.
Yeah,
we're all hot mess mamas. You are in a community right now. You are in a community of hot mess mamas, okay? Like,
but, you know, that's what I, like, pride myself on. I'm a hot mess, but I also get stuff done. So, like, if I look all over the place in 1 week, that's because I'm working on stuff. Like, I don't know if you guys know, but, like, I'm a fellow. I'm a life coach. I'm a podcaster. I actually just started Avon. I started Lashes. I actually have a part-time job. And I'm still doing all of this stuff. And I was doing virtual school with my daughter. I have so many titles. But
you're not going to get into virtual school.
Say that just means all that whole list. She just named like 7 things, y'all. Don't let nobody tell you as women that you can't accomplish a shit ton of stuff, because when we are put into a position where we want to or have to do things, we will make it work. We somehow will find a way to make it work.
Oh, no, look, it's this one. The motto of mom, wife, or whatever is, okay, so what needs to be done? What do we need to do? And that's just the phrase. It's like, so what needs to happen? Okay, well, it needs to happen. It's going to get happening. And yeah, it doesn't matter how many roles we have. We will figure out a place for it. We'll be like, okay, I can slide that 15-minute slot. I have an opening here. Like, it really takes a lot, and I'm not an organized person, so that's why I was just like, I couldn't imagine.
You find that in positions, though, where it would be needed, how much your ability to be organized in that moment would be, though.
Yeah.
Like,
it really is. It takes I use my Google Calendar because it color coordinates everything, so.
I have a Google Calendar, too, with 50 colors on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
It helps. I always tell people, I'm like, if you need to be organized, color coordinated, because then you know exactly where it's at, where it needs to be done, and that color is associated with that. And
my phone holds my everything. So like, for example, me and Sasha have a shared calendar. I have a calendar with work. I have my actual regular calendar, which sometimes I end up putting them all together because I'm like, I don't care. As long as I know what I need to do, like when we're planning out something, I have to look at three different calendars and I'm just like, okay, no, I'm good there. Okay, I have something big. I'm good for this time, but I'm not a organized person in terms of I have five planners. I have five organizers right now. I will start off really good. Like I'll be like, I got this. The next month is going to be great. And that's it. That's it. I put it down. I forget about it. And a year later, I'm like,
it's not your ministry, Sheree. It's
not. It's not, okay. But I like them. And I really want it to be my ministry.
You want to be, but it's not.
I want it to be mine.
You just got to know yourself.
Well, here's the thing. I will always keep it around because at the end of the day, I'm like, one day it's going to come in handy. I don't know what day it's going to be coming in handy, but one day I get small ones. I don't get like a big book because I know I need one that if I got to toss it in a bag, I can do it. But I'm not organized that way. My organization comes from, if it's not in my phone, it doesn't exist.
I guess, but just to kind of close out the show, if you had to give advice for other women or men who are in your situation, who are serving as caregiver and parent and things like that, and have moments and, you know, they don't know if they can continue on like that, or how are they going to juggle anything, or like they, you know, feel like everything's up in the air and they play in all these roles, what would you tell people in your situation like that? Like, what kind of advice would you give them? Because I would just be like, just breathe, like take a deep breath.
And yeah, other than breathe and like, you can do, like, you got this, because we do have this.
Yes. I would just say find a person, because like you said, that community, it helps. It helps so much. And you have your spouse, you have your family, but it's something different when you have someone outside of that that can just get you and relate to you and have this unbiased, you know, opinion, helpful and knowledge. That like, I go to my mom and family and they're just like, well, that's just the military, because they were in the military. You know, they mm-hmm. just, they.
It's a whole different mindset. Understand.
Yeah, they don't understand like how it is for me.
I was gonna say that actually is something very important, because if I was to marry someone, I have some family that's in the military, but if I was to be a military wife, I'd be like, someone tell me if this is normal. Is this normal?
It's the same thing as being in a police family. Yeah. It's that same type of mindset is, so it makes sense that that's what I married, because I came from a military family now that I think about it.
Yeah, and then there's me, who like my husband is the most I have is that he was an event person. So like him coming home late, I remember him saying to me, so you're not bothered that I like have to come in at 2:00. I said, you work events, you have to take down events. Do you want me to not tell you? What do you want me to tell you? Not make money? Stop. Calm down. But he had relationships before that was just like, why are you out at 2:00? He's working. Are you going to pay his bills? I'm not. So sweetie, make your money, whatever. Do your exactly. thing. That's what I know. I don't know anything else.
Yeah. I would just say, you know, have that person, because I can't say enough about having a person. And it's helpful, because not only does she help me with like the caregiving stuff and the military stuff, she also helps me with my daughter. She helps me with just functioning as a human. So
that's everything.
We are big advocates for having you
mom track.
We did a whole episode about it, but we are advocates for having somebody in your corner that is not your spouse, your parents, like somebody who gets some part of your life that you can bitch
like
to,
someone who I can
to.
Just be like, I don't like him. And they'll be like, I can't take this.
And they'll say, okay, so what mood are we in today? And how do you want me to react to that? Because like, is it you don't like them, so we just going like, do I need to fight somebody? Or are you just telling me you don't like them right
like
now?
You don't like them? Like, you don't like them? Like, it's this one. I can't take it no more. Well, what can't you take? Like, what level of, are we at like 1, 5, 10? What we need to bring the alarm?
So I can react accordingly. So.
You just need to vent. We need to go out. What do you need? What do you need?
I like, know, without the judgment. Like, do you want ice cream? Do you want Waffle House? What do you want?
Look, you want wine. Do I need one bottle of wine? Do I need ice cream? Do we need to go shopping? You need a vacation? Do we need to book a trip? What do you need?
You know, and food is my love language. So
exactly. Like, exactly. Like, let's just go. You need to go out to dinner, don't you? Yes, I need food.
It's like, away I just from need the something. House. I need something right now. That's all you need.
You need someone to understand when you say girl. Yep. They need to know the girl. Girl is the key word. Girl. Girl. Okay. If you, how I say girl should tell you what I need.
Or even over text message when I say girl with three dots behind it. I need you to be like,
and I'm just like, what? What's up? What do you do? What do you do? What's up? But no, that's really important. And I think that we do not give our tribes and the support that we have around us enough credit, or excuse me, we don't put it out there that, like, we're not doing this by ourselves. Yeah, we look like superwomen, but we're not doing it all in this, like, silo. No, we have a whole, like, list. I got a directory of people. Like, if I need something, I got you.
Yep. So I just want to thank you so much for being on the show with us. I think it is amazing what you're doing and all of the seven things that you counted off. And I know that's not all of them, but I think all of that you do is amazing.
Look, I was going to say, you named about 7 to 10 things. And I'm just like, I'm tired.
Well, and I will just also say from personal experience, you know, walking into a marriage where you knew that you were going to be playing this role and still doing it anyway is amazing. Yeah. Because I think there are a lot of people who would not do that. And there's a lot of people who, when presented that situation in their marriage, choose to walk away from it because it's quote unquote too hard.
Too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we forget about the things that we've signed up for. So I just thank you so much for being on the show. We love it so much. You can actually, let me find my email again. You can find, Jennifer on Instagram at mom2wife+life. That's mom2wife+life. And then that's her podcast name too, Mom to Wife to Life. And same thing on Facebook, only mom2to. There we go. I was like, I said spell with the number. There we go. But we'll put all of that in
the
show notes.
We're gonna tag it all.
We'll tag her so you guys can see us. We would love to hear from you guys if you are a caregiver for your partner or your spouse and how you got into that. Was it something that was thrown on you, as in my mom's situation that you weren't expecting, or more like Jennifer's situation where you were just a way better person than probably most people are and were like, I can do this.
And have y'all had them conversations where, like, what's going to happen if this happened? Then what ifs?
We would love to hear that from you. You can email us at hello@swellandsitpodcast.com, or you can check out the conversation that I'm sure is happening on Instagram right now at Swirl and Sip Podcast. If you want to see behind the scenes footage of Sheree and I when we record our episodes and when we're drinking wine and get our vino corner, and lots of behind the scenes stuff, you can always become a part of our Sip Squad at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. It's as little as $3 a month, guys. It's less than a cup of coffee. And I do mean less, because I've had Starbucks like the past couple weeks.
My Starbucks is standard $4. Yeah. $4 to $5. Standard for I haven't been there so long. What's the small?
Tall.
Standard is $4.65.
Yeah, so mine is $4.08. So yes, yeah, it's cheaper than a small cup of coffee at a Starbucks. You can be a part of our Sip Squad and you get a whole bunch of awesome benefits. We think they're awesome, but you get a whole bunch of awesome benefits for being a part of our Sip Squad. Make sure that you subscribe to the show and rate and review us. The rating and reviewing is the important part because it helps other people find our show and hopefully see how awesome that we think we are. And you can find us on all your major podcast platforms. I think that's my whole spiel. I always forget.
I was going to say, you got everything. You got everything. Okay. We plug events already. So yeah, you're good.
So in that case, make sure you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.